All right, call the meeting to order. Approval of adoption of the amendment of agenda. I got a motion from Dave, second from Dan. All right, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Approval of the minutes. 2019, July 16th.
So move for approval, Mr. Chair.
Got those, I got a motion, I need a second.
Second.
All right, any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. 3.2, personnel meeting. Motion and a second I need.
I'll move it.
I got a motion, I need a second.
I'll second, Carlin.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. I don't believe we have any public open forum.
Nope.
All right. Financials. I need approval of the bills for 5.1.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion from Jane, I need a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Financial reports. Need a motion and a second from that.
Here.
I got a motion, Dave. Need a second, please. Second from Mary. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Consent agenda, I think we can do all them at once. So 6.1 through 6.4. I'll ask for a motion and a second.
I'll move approval, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion from Lisa, I need a second.
A second.
Seconded from?
Mary.
All right, Mary, any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
You're officially 10 minutes ahead.
All right. Well, this I'm doing this for Dave. All right, communications.
Well, there aren't anything new, but she'll be next.
Okay. All right, so we'll put that in a presentation, 50th anniversary video. We got Brianne.
Yep. You need a mic?
You just decide what you want to do.
Is there one up here?
You can stand right in the middle if you like.
Bring the mic over.
You have like 2 seconds.
We need to get you on the recording.
Why don't you come, seriously, why don't you stay where you're at so we can all see it, as we can't see you behind there. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Oh, then I can.
Now we're 10 minutes behind.
Including.
Right, Dan?
Can we also turn down the fees?
Hi, I'm Brianne Johnson, the Communications and Development Coordinator. September 25th marks our 50th anniversary for the Great River Regional Library System. So this past year, the Communications and Development Department has been working with an outsourced videographer to create a video, which I will be showing. We plan to release the video next Wednesday on our anniversary, September 25th, on our website, YouTube, share it on Facebook. We also intend to play the video at our Friends Meet Friends event next Thursday with Friends of the Library, and also at our St. Cloud Chamber Connection on that Friday.
Hi, I'm Karen Punzek, Executive Director for Great River Regional Library since 2015. The system was founded 50 years ago in 1969. We began with 14 libraries in Benton, Morrison, Stearns, and Wright counties. As the years passed, Great River Regional Library has grown to 33 locations. Now more than ever, people in central Minnesota recognize that library services add value to our lives and our communities. In 1982, Great River Regional Library checked out 1 million books and had 68,000 registered borrowers. In 1996, we increased deliveries to 4 days a week. In 2008, all locations received wireless internet connections. In 2010, we launched a state-of-the-art ebooks platform called OverDrive. Over the years, our locations have been remodeled and relocated. In 2017, Great River Regional Library's first smart locker system called GRRL2Go was added at the Sartell Community Center, bringing our locations to 33.
We really try to be a seat at the table and make the community a better place.
The thing I enjoy most about Great River is the people, both behind the desk and on the other side of the desk.
I love being able to help people. We have people coming in from all walks of life, and they're coming here for answers, and we're able to help them.
There have been a lot of changes at Great River over the years. We now have color copying and printing. We can scan documents to a thumb drive for people now. Ooh, so many changes.
What has changed most since I started 30 years ago is we weren't automated, so everything was paper. And
being able to access the materials faster.
We have many programs here, from Baby Bounce to our story times, to teen programs, to programs of all ages.
Our patrons have been helping us grow by directing the services that we offer, because we realize we just need to respond to their needs.
Many things have changed over the past 50 years, but our mission and values remain the same. We have and continue to explore, learn, and connect with the people of Central Minnesota. Here's to 50 years of library services. We look forward to bringing you the best our libraries have to offer for the next 50 years and beyond.
Our community is important because we value our children and their education, and we value the people that come here.
Thank you for supporting Great River Regional Library.
Before I hand it off, do we have any other questions with the video?
Did you have all the disclaimers signed by them too to make sure later
Great
when it goes viral?
Lisa had a question.
So when is the Friends Meet Friends meeting?
The Friends Meet Friends event is next Thursday.
This Thursday or next Thursday?
The 26th.
Yes.
26th.
Yep.
And it's here?
Yep.
Correct.
In this room.
Did we get invited?
The board?
So
I guess the board was not invited. The Friends of the Life. What?
Historically, we haven't invited the board, but you're certainly welcome to come. Just let Brianne know so she knows how much food to get. I think Fund Development Committee members have come in the past.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm
thinking.
So
what time on the 26th?
It is at 6:30.
Yeah. What are you serving for food?
It is hors d'oeuvres.
So Brianna, this is Brianne, right?
Yes, Brianne.
Sure. This will be on our website then, this video? Is that all?
Correct. So in looking at next week, on the 25th is the date of our anniversary, and we plan to put it up on YouTube and then share that on our main webpage, and then also send it out on Facebook as well to share on our regional page along with our local pages as well.
We're not the only ones that will be able to see it here.
Correct.
And we've talked with the videographer about maybe sending it out to local access, right?
Yes.
I don't know where that ended up.
Yes. So this is our 50th anniversary video, and working with the videographer, we decided to have a couple videos for each library that aren't dated to the anniversary, so they would be able to use them individually and have each of the library service coordinators talk about their library as well. That is still in the process. But in regards to our anniversary this month, we are releasing this one.
Great presentation, Brianne.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
So when are the rest going to be available? And what locations?
That is still in the process.
When
I don't have a date.
We don't know when they're going to be available?
Correct.
And how would they be used? We don't know that
either. Similar to many of our branches now have Facebook pages.
Yeah.
So in that manner.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Do
you have pictures of the first bookmobiles that came around to the schools?
It's probably in our archives.
Back in the 50s, early 60s, there was bookmobile. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure in our archives there are some pictures, but I couldn't tell you which era of bookmobile they were from because we had a
stopped off at the school we were at once a week. And
we had
who remembers the bookmobiles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, jeepers, thanks, people.
Just for a while there, you thought you were the only one.
I was thinking about maybe walking out, you know.
Yeah, Fred, when they switched from away from ox carts, yeah. That was my favorite.
Well, maybe, Fran, you could volunteer.
I think the oxes were pulling them.
You could help Karen identify which ones are from that era and find a picture and we can put it up there.
Oh, yeah, because they
switched to donkeys.
I think it would be helpful, Mr. Chairman, if the board would take the video when it's released and do it to all of our Facebook to get the word out, because most people, at least that find out that I'm on the library board, they wonder what in the world I'm doing here, so... I think it's a good way for all of us as board members to kind of take them six years to figure it out.
Mr. Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Up during a finance meeting.
I'd like this to have sent to our administrator because we'll put it on our website because I think this is important. This has been at 50 years. I think this is a big deal.
Make it available. Yep.
You know, because I think a lot of people don't realize how long the library system's been around.
Yeah, and I see. I would be open to that, to have them put it on our county's website. So contact our IT department, said Randy said, and they'll get it done.
The local access channel.
When you say that, though.
Karen said the local access.
Yeah.
Karen mentioned the local, Mr. Chairman, on that issue. Karen mentioned the local access channels. Just about every town, Albany, Painesville, they all have local access. They'd play it. And a lot of those are the more elderly type people that watch those council meetings and things. And again,
that's a good point, because 50 years, where did that go by? You know, that's here and gone. Yeah. Right now, so.
Mr. Chair, please. I think it would be kind of cool if there's still an opportunity to get a picture of the bookmobile with the oxen. You know,
we could restore one and put it out front.
What?
If I could find one of those bookmobiles, I'd restore it and then we'd put it up front.
That'd be cool.
You probably could make something really cool.
Yeah.
Janie
but I don't know if we can find any oxen.
There's a lot of stuff. John Pepper's got an archive. I don't know where it ended up, but it's around.
Anything else concerning the anniversary video? All right, moving on. Staff reports, Executive Director.
Library development, we're getting close to the end of our analysis, so October we'll have a work session kind of digging into what our initial recommendations will be around open hours, alternative services, and then some facility assessment updates. We did go down and tour Victoria Library and then went over and looked at their locker, and then Chanhassen, which is the biggest library in the Carver County system, which is just down the road. And so we'll talk more about that in October, but it was an interesting visit. They're just set up so differently, but their locker is almost the same distance from their Victoria Library as Sartella's from White Park, and then Chanhassen is, I think, a 30,000 square foot library, so it's a little bigger than Elk River, a little smaller than St. Cloud. Interesting. It was an interesting trip. No news on the lease, although I don't know if you saw the news story 2 days ago. There was an announcement that the developer and the city have come to an agreement to move the city hall to Tech High School and redevelop this current city hall site. So I'm not sure how that plays into our lease right now, but I suspect that's one of the reasons we haven't heard back, that deals were being cut on other things. 501c3, I gave you a little update on where that's at. We haven't actually heard anything other than the IRS has received that. I won't jump into the management reports until we get to that section, but I do have updates from Brandy and Jamie tonight also.
And that would be it. Lisa's hurting. She's got a question.
I'm mulling over this move of City Hall. So I can tell you more. I went to the Reading Room Society on Thursday night, and the developer that they're working with actually presented on downtown development that night and talked about City Hall and tech, but not an inkling of what was going to be talked about.
I'm fine
the
with
next
the
day.
Lease we have right now. keep it the same, you know, keep it moving.
Tease the tiger.
Anything else on that?
Tech tiger.
Anything else on the executive
report? No, that's it.
All right. Management reports, you might as well give up for doing that.
Okay. Foley, in addition to what's written here, we had a good conversation yesterday. Commissioner Pop was there, City Administrator Sarah Brunn, City Councilman Jack Brosh, Don, what's her last name? John Magnuson from the Foley Library Board, Randy and myself were there. There was a lot of misunderstanding about what had transpired and why. So we talked about how Great River shares management across libraries and how we've historically done that. We've also talked about what it means to be part of a regional system. I don't know how much more detail I should share there, but
I think they were under the misunderstanding of if they had their own manager that they thought, you know, the time was going to increase and all the other stuff that, but it's not warranted with the usage and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we got through to them and they'll go back to their respective boards.
Right.
So it was a positive meeting?
Yeah, it was good.
It's generally positive. All the players were at the table. I think that was a bit of a struggle. There is going to be a joint meeting of the Foley Library Board and the City Council to talk a little bit more on October 1st. So we're going to hold off on any movement until after that meeting, but we're hopeful that that's a good next step.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to be at that meeting or someone from the Great River Regional?
You know, there wasn't a clear understanding of whether or not it would be welcome if we were there. I think we're waiting to hear on the recommendation of the city admin. We'd prefer to be there just so.
I don't quite understand that one, why we would not be welcome as you as the executive director.
What? If I can?
Yeah.
I think that they're trying to get the city council on the same page, and I think the library board there is way out of whack with what, you know, what the expectations are and what their point of power is. I mean, you know, they've even went out and researched about leaving and going to another region, and they don't understand how this works. You know, I mean, the last say comes before your county board, and your county board is not going to abandon Sauk Rapids, and two-thirds of our population lives on the western side of Benton County, so why would we want them to join a different region? I mean, they didn't have no clue about that. So I think it was really positive, and I think will go back, and I think he'll get that library board kind of.
So what you're saying is that maybe they don't want us there at this time because we might be influencing them?
No, I don't think they don't want. I think we're welcome if we go, but
right.
You know, like I told them, I might come just to sit in the corner.
Right. Right, I think the conversation
will never work.
Well, it's better than getting beat up.
Well, I think you guys should use that as your role, because I'm obviously Commissioner Pop is, you know, involved in that, so use that as your discretion.
Yeah. He's on it.
I think the conversation really needs to happen between that city council and the library board.
Yep.
Because that library board is appointed by the city council, and there seems to be a disconnect about what that library board is actually responsible for versus what they think they're responsible for.
And if I may add that, they had two people that were speaking on behalf of the library board that ain't even on the library board.
Right. Yeah. The woman who was here saying she represented the city council, the library board, right, is not on the library board for the Foley Library.
Or the city council.
Or the city council.
Yeah.
And I think, Mr. Chairman, that's why I asked if we were going to be there. That was my nice way of saying I think you should be there. Now, hearing this, I really think you should be there, because just what I've heard and read in the presentation here, if you aren't there to correct that misinformation, that's going to continue. Somebody's got to be there to say that's not the way this works. So I think that would be
okay.
We'll keep communicating.
Right. Those local politics are always a little tricky. In terms of Kimball,
I wanted to let you know that they are meeting next week to talk about the bids on that building. In the building reports, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, you'll see photos from the groundbreaking ceremony. Thank you, Commissioner Winter, Commissioner Lenzmeyer, for being there. I do want to point out Lorraine Gregory, who was woman featured in this middle photo right here. She was a longtime employee of Great River Regional Library. She passed away last week. So we're glad that the groundbreaking was able to take place before her passing. So the Kimball Building Group is meeting monthly on the topic of the building. They are waiting to go out for bids until next spring because of the results.
Emma, what was the lowest bid?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm without any substantiation, I'm imitating national news. I'm saying they're halfway there.
I think Brandy had put in here that they were something like $25,000 above something like that. But I shouldn't say that. I don't remember. All right. JD, you want to talk about Enterprise at all? since something's changed since we printed those.
Okay, so I did mention in our library catalog that we had a upgrade scheduled for the 12th, and that did happen. So now the catalog we will be moving forward with is responsive, and what's important about that is when you pull it up on your phone, the text is actually large enough to read it, and it will resize to fit different sizes of phones, tablets, etc. It'll be a little bit before we push it out to the forefront, because without having a web developer right now, one of the things about the catalog is it's integrated into our website, so that when you search the search box at the top of our website, it takes you to that catalog. So until the new web developer can come in, skill up, and make that change, it'll keep going to the other catalog. But the responsive catalog is there now and available.
Very exciting.
All right.
One last update, and this is for Jamie's area. You may recall the lynda.com question was asked a few months ago about their change to LinkedIn Learning. As a library platform, they're requiring anyone who has a subscription to lynda.com, which is a training database, to have a LinkedIn account in order to use the database. And as we've been digging into it, we think we can no longer continue the subscription. So we will be sending notices out to the patrons who have been using the service and explaining why we're making the change. The subscription goes till the end of December, so in its current form, right now you log in with your library card and you can access the materials, so you can finish up any courses you're already in by the end of December, but after that we'll no longer have the subscription. We believe it's in violation of library philosophy in terms of retaining personally identifiable data with a vendor, because that LinkedIn account, even if you're just setting it up, that means they already have your email address and it's in their platform, not our platform. And their vendor agreement doesn't really cover us in terms of our privacy requirements, we feel. So that's why we'll be moving forward from that. But it's a fairly popular database, so you may hear something about that. And I just wanted to let you know ahead of time.
All right, so that'll do it for management reports, and I guess you'll be Brandy for the building reports, right?
Yes, I kind of jumped ahead to the Kimball one. There's nothing new besides that they are continuing to meet on that project. And I don't think there was anything beyond what was in the reports for Ryan and Rachel either.
Mr. Chairman, I think you should start wearing ties at the meetings. I think that would really...
that the is most a nice impressive picture. Part is he drove up on a motorcycle with a tie.
With a tie.
We had to see that.
Wow.
So did you have your fake ponytail on, too?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, you bet. Sure, you had to bring the motorcycle.
It was pretty cool.
Okay. Summer reading program.
We did finish with an increase this year, which was one of our goals. So the biggest growth was in that 3 to 12 range this year. The baby and toddler numbers are down a little bit.
it was definitely made up by the other two categories. So we'll have a branch by branch comparison when we do the quarter four statistics in January. So.
Any questions or discussion on that? Not moving. Staff engagement survey summary. 9.5, and I believe, Julie.
Let me just get to the right page. So we took a year off last year, 2018, from the survey. We felt like we had been making a lot of changes based on the 2017 survey and wanted to let those sort of take some effect. So we didn't do a survey to compare to for 2018. So these are the results of the survey that we did in 2019 compared to the 2017 data. We did have 231 people respond, so out of 276 surveys that were sent. We think that's a pretty good response rate, and that is a little bit higher than the 2017 survey where 222 employees responded. A couple of the key questions that we have worked hard at and take a look at is the first one under internal communication results. The question is asked, overall, how satisfied are you with internal communication at GRRL? This did show a slight decrease. 68.17 compared to 69.4 in 2017. In perspective, that's instead of that was 24 people dissatisfied in 2019 compared to 17 out of the total number of surveys sent. Another key one that we look at is trust, and that there's a slight decrease in that one as well from 52.05 in 2017 to 49.78%. So nothing very significant that gives us a certain direction, but some slight decrease. We do have the several questions that were very similar, such as how people understand our strategic plan. How they feel about their supervisor and their coworkers continues to be very high and very close to the 2017 results. There's some benchmark questions that we're able to use through SurveyMonkey. So it's just really comparing thousands of companies and how their staff answer the questions and ours. And as you maybe noticed, there's several that are higher than benchmark survey statistics. A couple that I would point out is we do continue to have a really engaged workforce. If you look at the 73.3% of our employees strongly agree that they give their best effort every day compared to the benchmark of 51.75. Also, the working relationships with their peers, their coworkers, continues to be pretty high, higher than the benchmark, and is often mentioned in the comments that or exit interviews, or we hear a lot that people really enjoy their coworkers. So there are some comment questions in the survey. One is regarding specifically communication. What could we do to improve it? We weren't out of the, I think we had 118 comments, but the majority of them, I think over 30 of them, just said continue what we're doing. So a lot of people have noticed some of the changes that we've made, and it is definitely a message to us to continue our vigilance in communication. And then there's some others listed that are things that we can certainly keep in mind. Nothing specific that we're able to take away and start doing because it was very small numbers of maybe just one person making a comment. So, but there's areas that we'll keep working on, like making sure everybody who's impacted by a decision is informed. Better follow-up was mentioned by a couple respondents, making sure we're listening and considering suggestions. And then there's just some miscellaneous suggestions that we'll work on as a leadership team to see if there are some things we want to implement. And then lastly, there it was an opportunity just for overall comments. So we did have 39 of those. Again, no particular theme. These are things, that maybe suggestions that might be something we'd want to put into practice. So again, LST will look at those and give some consideration to them. but again, a majority saying that they enjoy working at Great River and feel like it's a good work environment. So I do have the graphs attached as well with 2017 and 2019 compared, so I'm open to any questions or
Where
comments.
Where did the benchmarks come from?
Through SurveyMonkey.
The benchmarks?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think it's over 2,000 companies that use this exact same question through their survey platform that you're able to compare to.
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
It seems like, for the most part, people are happy working here, happy with their supervisors, but there is, in several places where I saw it, openness, transparency, senior management, administration and staff, gap. I mean, is that the board? Does that include us?
I would say most of those are probably directed towards administration being the leadership team.
It's kind of confusing because we use mm-hmm. the benchmark question, and so how people interpret that question, like I think it was 16 or 17 when we did it, we also have a place where people can say, please follow up with me. And when we followed up with someone, it was actually more related to their department supervisor. So that was 2 years ago. It may depend on who answered the question.
Anything else for Julie?
And we use standardized questions from this SurveyMonkey outfit.
Right? Some of them are. The ones that are benchmark, able to be compared to the benchmark results,
yeah.
We're all using the same question. But ones that are not listed under the benchmark graph are questions that we've been using on every survey for however many years we've been doing it, at least the 4.5 years that I've been here.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Julie, on the trust factor, which went down, what would you attribute that to? I mean, is there a different interpretation of the question, or is it that they're not trusting what they're being directed to do, or communication isn't trusted, or what are they not trusting? I mean, did we fine-tune that?
So there are some comments that might give me a little bit of an inkling of what some of this about. So sometimes it's maybe a decision that was made that people didn't agree with. Okay. I think I could even say there was some definite feelings around the shared branch of Royalton and Foley. So depending how people might feel about a decision, that might affect that. Some of the comments indicated very old decisions that maybe had been done a couple years ago, but for some people that maybe still is a hurdle we may not be able to move beyond. But I didn't see anything specific that I can definitely point to. Other than we certainly want to keep working on it and communicating and being transparent and getting feedback. Karen's doing the small group meetings coming up in September, so that's just always a place for people to express maybe a little bit more detail about those issues too.
And that's part of the process to address some of these concerns, right? Small group. Individual contact.
It's a communication venue to be able to keep communication channels open and get feedback on big decisions like the strategic plan that we'll be developing or whatever else is going on. They're sort of an agenda, but they have an opportunity to address things as well. But there wasn't any particular theme of what might have impacted trust at this time.
We always use SurveyMonkey on the employee engagement, or have you looked at others?
We've always used SurveyMonkey.
And there are other vendors, more HR-related, that I've seen used. They might guide you in different mm-hmm. questions on how it's delivered.
Mm-hmm.
That might make the difference. If you know,
And it is often when you look at the percentages, it's meaning a small number of people. So again, if you look at how many have the dissatisfaction compared to how many completed the survey, if it's around 20 or something, you know, we'll have to determine what kind of effort then we can put into maybe getting those people to feel more comfortable as well. SurveyMonkey is I think we have a free resource there. Or
okay.
Yeah.
And it makes sense too. And J.J. Keller isn't going to be cheap.
Right. And it does seem to work pretty user friendly for staff. I'm able to send the emails, send the reminder emails. And
Jeff, you had a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a point. I think it's a teachable moment on the gap, whatever the perceived or the 20, 30 employees, whatever. It's just a reminder, the closer supervisors stay with the staff, the more you know their wives or husbands' names or kids' names and pay attention, they're going to be more satisfied. They're going to be less, you know, and it, as we all know, it only takes a few people to bring people down. It takes more people to bring them up. Mm-hmm. So to nip that, it's just maybe a teachable moment to remind staff, administrators, you know, have a more personal interaction with the employees. And even if you're doing it, keep doing it. You know, it's doesn't have to be a negative. It can be a positive. It's a opportunity to grow that.
And we had done, maybe you remember a year or so ago, we did implement what we call one-on-one meetings that supervisors, we have a template that they can use to just do one-on-ones, informal check-ins with their staff. We're not making it mandatory, but we are hearing from the supervisors that are doing it. It does create a big benefit, just what you're saying, to have that connection and be able to have that communication. We also did some training. I think you saw it in Brandy's notes for Regional Staff Day. That would have been all of the people in supervisory kind of positions as well on resiliency and coaching and some of that too.
I think we're all reminded of the old saying that says people, employees don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's a simple, just keep doing that. You've got a big organization. A remote administration's hard on these remote libraries. You know, it's hard to make them feel like they're part of the system and those kinds of things.
We definitely see comments that they do, but the branches like it when St. Cloud staff is in their area as well. So we do try to make those efforts.
Anything else for Julie?
I think just I would like to add and just agree with Jeff's comments. You know, when you look at all the charts, I mean, overwhelmingly it's either agree or strongly disagree for both 2017 and 19, except the one chart for the senior management employees. Then we dribble a bit. So a little extra effort in that area might be take us.
Mary?
Just as a matter of curiosity, what's the average number of reports per supervisor?
I think our highest number is around a dozen.
What?
Well, Eric's probably got more than that.
Is what?
A dozen.
Oh, I thought you said 1,000. No. Are you nuts?
So that can really vary. You have a library the size of Elk River, and then you have a library the size of Royalton, so it varies quite a bit.
But a dozen would be the maximum, you think?
No, they're probably in circulation. There might be a higher ratio there.
Right.
And there's two, that we have a coordinator of circulation and a senior circulation assistant, so to meet that higher need.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Anything other? Any other?
No other.
Finance Committee, how about Lisa, what do you have for us?
We met just prior to this meeting, and you all have the agenda and all the materials in your packets. We talked about the Great River, the 2019 budget projections. We agreed to have future discussion about that to come to some sort of comfort level of what we would be willing to go down to in the future. So some good discussion. We approved a capital automation request for a storage array and a capital vehicle request, and then had a little presentation on the MAGIC Fund, which is the Minnesota Association of Governments Investing for Counties, and the benefits that we have from that. And
most of our counties are also invest with MAGIC and find it very beneficial financially and a number of different reasons. So with that, I would move to approve that report.
Okay, I need a second.
Second, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, pick one, Brad.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 10.2, Personnel Committee.
We didn't have one.
I know. I thought we were going to look back and when we last met, July. Okay. This is the Verbal Fund Development Committee.
I'm sorry. Who wants to?
Mary, is that going to be you?
I'm a fund development. I'm not prepared.
Do you want to do it?
Oh, I can do it too.
Okay.
Jane?
I think Brianne's indicating there hasn't been a meeting since our last meeting here.
Actually, we had one August 5th that we did not do an update on.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, we have had one we haven't had one since August 5th, right?
Correct.
And in August 5th, we had a new member that joined us. Who's very motivated to help us. I can't remember his name.
Mark Thielen.
Mark Thielen.
Mm-hmm. And then, let's see what else. We also signed thank you notes. We have a couple different processes. First of all, the brochure is coming out for planned giving. We also went to a seminar today on turning wealth into what matters. A very interesting seminar in Monticello. And other than that, our next meeting is November, I don't have it on here.
Fourth? November something.
Fifth.
And that's about it. Almost. Lee, do you have anything else on that? Or?
No, it's Mark Thielen is a fireball type personality. And he's a great idea person. So we'll, stuff will happen.
All right, Jane, thanks for that.
Yeah,
Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board.
I can do that one, Mr. Chair.
Start with this one.
Oh, I can't remember that one.
There you go. It's right there.
we changed savings accounts to from TCF to a different bank.
Falcon
Bank. Approved the budget. And then at our last meeting, we had an opportunity to view the virtual reality kits that we were able to purchase. Or CMLE was able to purchase as a result of a grant application for about $37,000, $38,000, something like that. And so we had an opportunity to put on these figures, and I saw the shark. but there are evidently hundreds of different curriculum that are available on these virtual things. And we have, what did we get, 20?
I think that's
all told, I think, 20 units or kits, and they come with 10 the headgear things. And they're going out to schools for this first year. And then maybe after the first year, if they're not all banged up and beat up and broken, then they would be available perhaps through public libraries as well. And then potentially an application for a second grant for something in that same realm. But it was really cool. I don't know. I have never looked at those before, but I mean, the shark was right there. I thought it was going to eat me. And I didn't have an opportunity to see any of the arts or the cultural units. So, and maybe you did. Did you see something?
No, I saw the shark.
So that's pretty much it. Thank you.
All right, any questions or comments?
I have one comment. They will be in one of the meeting rooms when we're doing Friends Meet Friends that night.
Yeah, and we sent out a postcard.
Right, so if you want to get a chance to see the shark too, Thursday.
There's more to than just a shark, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either.
They could have the bookmobile one, which we could look at.
From the 50s.
Ooh, we can find some oxen.
I thought we put this in. Sure, Dave.
Just trying to invent something.
All right, thank you for that. Any unfinished business? Not new business. Minnesota Library and Legislator update. Looking at you, Mr. Potter, or is it Karen?
No, that was me.
All right. Well,
So in the packet is the legislative summary that was handed out at the Library Association Legislative Forum here in August. And it's a summary of all of the initiatives last session and around libraries, and you can see successes and challenges within that. Those that are most pertinent to Great River is the regional public library support. We've already talked a little bit about that tonight. Legacy funding, as you know, was approved again. And then library bonding will be moving forward again next session. So those, the regional library support and library bonding are two planks that will be appearing in the 2020 platform. Regional library support chunks both the regional library basic system support, which is part of our operating revenue, that ask to make it more stable. That bill is in the House. I don't know if there'll be action on it this session. It'll probably be more dependent on whether there's any supplemental budget bill or anything like that. The one that we're hoping moves forward maybe independently is around regional library telecommunications aid. Right now they're packaged in one bill. But that aid is how we support our network connectivity. And right now the language was written prior to Wi-Fi. So it's pretty limited in how we can use it. And we're hopeful that they'll expand the definitions in terms of telecommunications. So we could use it for projects like Sartell, which we can't do right now because it doesn't meet the definition of a library. So that is something that might have action. In terms of the key library statistics, which is the next page, this is an information sheet that was shared as part of the legislative forum by State Librarian Jennifer Nelson. It's an interesting snapshot of public libraries in Minnesota. The new metric this year is in the upper right-hand corner, and this was one that she pointed out at the forum. They've just started asking for data in the state report from libraries on number of website visits. And so on that last graph, you can see there's a green bar on there. That's actually only 30% of public libraries reporting their website visits this year. And so there's a substantial amount of website activity compared to foot traffic happening with public libraries, and we expect that metric to be something that becomes a little more interesting as more libraries are able to report that data out. But you can see a lot of people have library cards, a lot of people are using their library a lot of different ways across the state. It's good to know that, but this is a great little snapshot of all of the different things that libraries do across the state.
Chairman, would a library location be like the locker system in Sartell, or what's a library location?
Which part are you looking at?
The map. The state of 355 library location.
The Sartell locker is not included in that.
What's a location versus a library?
So, library Great River, in some reporting, is considered one library because we have one operating budget. We have 32 locations in the way that's defined. So, there's 355 branches. I think they use a broader definition because not everybody calls their branches. Some of them are headquarters locations.
So 31 would be library locations in our system. And
32.
Ooh.
32.
Including
yep.
this one.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And in some locations, like in Kichigami, for example, their headquarters is actually in a separate building that they own. It's not in a library. So there are administrative units that function as regional offices that are not actually libraries. So those numbers are It's hard to create comparative numbers sometimes because how everybody defines service is a little bit different across the state.
And just to keep the bookmobile movement going, there's 8 of them, Fran, if you didn't see that.
8, yes.
We should get the old one and the new one.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
Or Karen. How many, all libraries are required to report this? Or did you say something about 30% or what was, did I
the
not listen carefully?
Website visits are a new metric, so it wasn't a required element yet. Wi-Fi used to be like that. I think it's now finally a required element. But sometimes libraries don't know how to count it or they don't have a place, a method to count it. So it takes a couple of years for them to phase in a new metric on that state report.
But we do?
We do. Thanks to our IT staff. They were way ahead of the curve on that.
Thank you.
Are we good there? All right. And then I guess there is a valuation for our executive director to be on the table over there. Or is it?
I think Julie's got it.
Julie has it. Okay.
This is the time of year that we conduct our Karen's annual performance review. So I know we might have some new people. I'll just sort of quickly go through the process. I'll hand out the evaluation form. If you prefer to receive it electronically, my email is in one of the bullet points on the first page. Just email me and I'll send it to you electronically. Otherwise, each board member completes the evaluation and send it to me by October 15th. There is a envelope with the address and stamp attached to the thing. The first page lists how the evaluation is done. We have a needs improvement, meets expectations, and exceeds, and it has those definitions on the first page. Once I get all of the feedback, I will work with Jane and Randy to put together a summary. The November meeting will be a closed session. Karen, as well as all board members, will be able to see all of the feedback as well as the summary. That will complete the review. So if you have questions, feel free to call me or email me, and I'll pass these out now.
So, yeah, again, like Julie said, if you wanted to have it emailed, then you just tell her right now, I guess. Okay, while she's doing that, we'll do board open forum. We'll start with Carolyn.
I have nothing.
All right. Ed?
I have nothing. We talked about what I had. So.
All right. Lisa? Jane?
Happy fall.
Mary?
Nothing. Well, yes. I attended last night in Elk River. Karen and Brandy were there. And Robbie, our LSC there. Community, I forgot what you
community
call it.
Meeting.
Community meeting. To get feedback on what we can do better, what they need, or what's missing, or what can be improved. And there were 8 people there, including myself, and it was good. I thought it was a good meeting.
It was a really good discussion.
And I'll be anxious to see what we get. Thank you.
Dave.
We set our preliminary levy today, and we're still looking for a county coordinator. So that's all we're doing in our county. Thanks.
Wayne. Didn't have anything. Thank you.
Michael.
Good news. We broke ground on our admin building a week ago Monday. Bids came in $6 million under.
Wow.
What we estimated. Also, the bond rate came in at 30 basis points less than we thought it was going to be. That's $1.5 million in savings. In interest over the life of it. We broke ground yesterday in the tactical center, the training center with the collaborative effort. We own it, but the FBI gave us $2.2 million towards that with the agreement for 20 years. They can use it for their training. So both of those are in the works. Our levy will be set next week, and it'll be a lot less. We won't be the poster child. We're under 7% for sure. So it's much better.
Hallelujah.
And the other thing is the next great commissioner from District 5, I believe you're going to run for their staff.
Dan, anything?
Yeah.
You know, I do have something. I went in to get my packet at the library, the Cocato Library, and it was really pleasant going in there. Who's the new branch manager?
Sarah Cavisto.
Oh, that's Sarah.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder she was so nice. I know the Cavistos. Anyway, I told her that. I said, you know, when I walked in there, I said, it is so bright in here and inviting, and that's what the library should be. And it's something I haven't experienced in there before. Oh. So I was really excited about that.
You changed your meds?
Positive knowledge really works. Any?
No, it's just right, remarkable, Jeff? How management, staff performance has improved since we bought the staff bigger whips. I'll tell you, it's remarkable.
Thank you. Jeff. Fran, anything about mobiles or anything? Or?
Oh, oh, my God.
Somebody get a picture of
the pictures of the bookmobile.
Oh, really? I'll get to you one minute. I'll, and I attended the Kimball.
Yeah.
Lee, I should say Lee and I, the dirt, the first shovel of the dirt and whatever. And again, the support that Kimball really has, I think it's a great location. They had a lot of support there. So again, I think moving forward, the Kimball Library will be very positive for this franchise. And then also, we set our primary to we set our levy, temporary levy today, 1.18, and we're still kind of digging on her, so we should be okay there. So we did a lot of, it was grinding with all the staff and all the departments and the board, and I think this will be one of our better years. So, Lisa.
Just our new administrator started, so I should have announced that. Steve Taylor, obviously, you know, retired, so Bruce Messelt came, is working now at Sherburn, was at Chisago, and he's been there about a month, and seamless so far from my chair. So
you got a top shelf administrator when
really
you got
good
Bruce.
Yes, so I think we were really lucky. We also set our preliminary levy at 4.94 today.
All right, anything else? If not, the next meeting is going to be October 15th, Board of Trustees, so I'm gonna, and then school. November 19th. So, if nothing else,
workshop in October.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yeah. Okay, yep. Other than that, motion to adjourn.
So, move.
Your second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 7:02.